I'm recording this conversation right now. We're not going to, I can't hear a word you're saying. I know.
Yeah.
We're
going
to go.
We're going live.
Hey, everyone. If you're listening to this right now.
Anthony will pass his thing over. Move yours out of the way. Can you, you can hear.
You can still hear, right?
You can't hear us? Is your volume? Turn the volume up.
At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo!
I don't trust myself. I knock my water over.
All right. So today,
wait for it.
This is the way I feel right now.
Yeah.
So we're having little technical difficulties.
Lacey, how do you feel right now? Just a second.
Oh, look at that. It works on the screen.
I love how this has a delay. Casey, you have to move yours out of the way so you can have this.
Yeah, so we're...
What's up, y'all?
We're missing some mics. Yeah, now we're breaking stuff. Anyways, we're going to make it work. We're going to try to do our best, right?
Yeah.
We have three mics for five people that we're going to share over here.
Mine swivels better than yours does.
My main recording device, my board, everything that I run everything through, just basically crapped the bed. So there's a donate button down there.
It's Paul's personal fund.
We need some money.
Well, last time I tried to get this fixed, they said, yeah, ship it to Australia. We'll fix it for you. It might take, 3 months.
Shipping times are very quick right now.
Especially to Australia. Mm-hmm. And so I I can't do that. So it's cheap. It's probably cheaper and easier for me to buy a new one. And so I'll have to figure that out. So yeah, donate.
Are they on the Amazon?
They are on the Amazon. Don't you love technology?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is definitely going to be put into somehow putting the armor of God on, because when technology and different things come in your way, then we have different things like the boot heels of Jesus or something.
We have the Paul who fixes things.
I don't think there's a armor of God piece for technology.
What?
Like there's not like the electrical tape of glory or something like that.
I kind of like the duct tape. How about the duct tape of glory? Yes, duct tape of glory. Uh-oh. Casey wants to say some words of wisdom.
I didn't have anything. The mark just started heading my way. Hello again.
Yeah, this is going to be hard.
I think we need an over of under of how many times I hit Lacey in the face while swinging this back towards her for no particular reason.
It's going to be just as good as the Nebraska games, right?
It makes me laugh every time it comes over because I'm literally just watching it go. There's a delay on the screen if you guys probably light it that way.
The best part about these mics, they're unidirectional, and so she's not facing the right way.
You gotta talk.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh. Oh my gosh. I should just go home now.
So I'm going to have to lean over like this to join in.
All right. We need to ask Casey very serious questions so then we can see the top of his head as he answers them.
I'm sorry, everyone, but we will go on. This is how God's messing with me today.
Oh my.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you get in here after two. My son just turned 7 today.
Happy birthday, Bill. I said Bill. I don't know where it came from. William, Bill.
Well,
Paul. I think it started Paul and finished Will and
Pill. Yeah, I was thinking that after you hang out with Will long enough, you need some pills for the headache. Yeah, I'm kidding. Lacey, I know you have a lot to say, but you have no microphone.
Microphone. I actually love having conversations with Will because he has full conversations with me, usually at lunchtime, but he'll raise his hand. He's like, it's Lacey. I'm like, hey, Will, what's up? Like, it's my birthday tomorrow. I'm like, it's your birthday tomorrow? He's like, yes, it's my birthday tomorrow. Look, I have a Rice Krispie treat that says happy birthday, Will. Oh, yeah. He'll have whole conversations with me.
Well, that's good to know.
I adore it.
I do adore Will. He's a good conversationalist.
Yes.
He's very much an extrovert like his daddy.
Doesn't probably need a microphone.
No.
Or have to turn your head like this to have a conversation.
All right. Because we're late, we have to cut down the chatter. Oh, we call it the chit-chat. So let's read some Bible verses. Maybe we can get ourselves in the mood.
Okay.
Not that kind of mood. We're getting ourselves in the biblical mood. That's not right.
Stacy's just going to read the Bible. Let's read Ephesians 6. Let's jump down to verse 10.
Oh, you don't want to read the whole part. Okay. I'm reading from my NIV version again. You're welcome.
10 to 20.
10 to 20. Okay, good, because I don't want to say Tychicus.
Oh, man. You did a great job. Tychicus.
I don't think I've ever pronounced it that way.
Of course, this doesn't have the numbers in it. So what's the deal?
Oh, weird.
Okay, hold on. Let me do this. Ephesians 6. Here we go.
There it is.
Okay.
Starting with verse 10.
10.
The armor.
The whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Will you read verse 21 also for us, please?
Tychicus. Is that really how you said it?
Yeah, Tychicus.
Tychicus. I've never heard it pronounced like that. I think I've said like Tychius. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Tychicus?
I don't think I've ever seen that second C.
Tychicus. Tychicus. That's his name.
Are you going to read it or are you just going to make fun of the guys?
I just wanted her to read Tychicus. Tychicus.
And I am doing Tychicus.
I don't think I've ever seen the other C. I think I've just said Tychius.
All right.
I don't know.
Is that a person?
Yeah, it's a dude.
The dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Does he have a problem with his mixing board too?
Actually, he was like the mixing board because he took the letter from Paul after he'd finished writing it to the church in Ephesus.
Yeah, I bet you had all four channels.
Yeah, I probably.
Maybe.
I'm a little upset. I'm a little upset.
About your board or about Tychicus?
No, Tychicus is fine. He did his job.
Good job, Tychicus.
Yeah, Tychicus did his job. My board's not doing his job.
Paul, it'll be okay.
I know. It just happened. I haven't had a chance to really process it.
Yeah. You get to process it on air.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Okay, good.
Yeah. I don't want to be too far away. No. Tychicus. Tychicus. My favorite part of that was the word.
Tychicus.
Something about that the words may be given to me in my opening my mouth. And of course, not two seconds ago, way before we read, I was like, bleh. So,
you needed words given to you?
And my words were not coming. Yep. They were just kind of coming out.
That is a fun prayer, though. Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me. I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel.
Yeah. I'm thinking
that's not really what
was happening when I was talking. Yeah. That's generally how it happens.
Yeah, and the pray for me, I mean, this is, again, Paul specifically talking to the church in Ephesus and encouraging them to pray for him so that, I mean, one, he's in jail, but also so that if he does have an opportunity to go speak with people, that God's word would come forth, or as he's writing other letters.
Yeah, I get that. That's generally the prayer that we do in the worship team, that the music and that the songs and whatever we choose, whatever way we able to worship that way, that we're able to use that. What was I going to say? Oh, so therefore it would open hearts.
That they would speak. Yeah.
Yeah. It would speak and also open their hearts so they can hear his word better.
Yep.
It's the same kind of thing, you know. I'm still upset. I'm gonna vent online.
It's always good. Yeah. Paul's upset. Let's give him a microphone while live.
You don't see me upset a lot. I mean, my wife does. But we talked about that last week. I guess I need a therapy session. Anybody want to?
Let's talk this through. Do you feel attacked?
I saw a shirt the other day that says, go call your mom. And I thought of you.
But Lori sent me something a couple weeks ago, a little plaque that said, call your mom. People keep sending me things.
So how's that going, Stacey?
It's coming slowly. It's in my vision for the year.
The end.
The end.
There you go.
I don't have a timeline on it because I had my meltdown a month ago. And part of that was I was trying to transition from a very busy, demanding season to another busy and demanding season. And I very much want to do Call Your Mom well and have my whole heart in it with a good attitude. And that's not how I was starting it. So I am taking a step back. I am resting and refreshing myself from the last busy, crazy season. And then when I am feeling a little
blue
break and when I'm feeling blue, all I have to do is start Call Your Mom.
Yeah.
So it's coming, but I was not in a place where I was going to do it well and I was going to begrudge it. And that's not what I want to do. So it's coming.
Okay. I'm sorry to completely distract ourselves.
It's all right.
All right. So my first question, what does it in your life look like putting on the armor of God? Because does it look like the squirrel that I put online?
No.
I look like a pudgy squirrel in a big suit of armor.
I'd like to know how they got that squirrel in a suit of armor. I'm fairly confident it's not real.
Okay, I'll tell you how. Like to know it's that. Very, very
did they
sacred.
Sedate no. the squirrel?
It's called photo.
I know this, but I really like to mentally think that someone took a little squirrel and held it.
And put the armor of God on it?
Yeah.
Because squirrels really handle that well.
Well, I feel like it would. So
okay, but
squirrels are kind of invincible. And then you put the armor of God on them, and then they're more invincible because.
That makes sense.
Well, they are.
What's more than invincible? Invincible? Oh, okay.
Invincible armor. I'm not into the superheroes.
Okay, but really, in your life, what does that look like? Casey? I'm looking at you, brother.
Game on. All right. I think it kind of calls back to something Jesus says in the gospel. And I think he says it particularly this way in Luke, where we pick up our cross daily to follow him. And putting on the armor of God, I don't think, we talk about baptism as a one-time event, which it is. We become a child of God then. I think putting on the armor, it's the idea that we're going to battle against a world that quite literally hates the message of Christianity every single day. So we've got to, yesterday's rest won't do today any good. We've got to buckle up each and every day to spread the gospel because we're in hostile territory.
We're moving mics around.
And nobody sleeps in their armor. So you got to, because that'd be really uncomfortable. So you got to put your armor on in the morning.
What?
Well, like what Casey was saying, you got to prep every day. It's not just I put on my helmet last night, slept in it. I'm good. It's a daily, Casey said, baptism's a one-time thing and it is, but it's also a daily thing. We are daily reminded of our baptism where we are called to daily drown the old Adam and rise up to new life with Jesus. We put on Jesus. We put on the armor every day. It's not just, you can't just kind of skate through things.
Verse that sticks out to me in those is our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I think it's easy in our current climate and culture to have this us versus them mentality that this is me against these other people who are not walking the way that I want to walk. But in reality, that's not what the battle is. And so when I have that mentality of these other people are my enemy and I've got to live my day on edge against them, ready to fight them, the people, I think I miss the whole point of I put on the armor. All these things are in submission to what God is going to do. So the buckle of truth, I'm going to get these wrong because I can never remember them. Buckle of truth, belt of truth, right? Buckled around your waist. Your shield of faith. So all these things are things that God has equipped us with and given us. And he is the one who is making them powerful armor. And it's not me, myself. When I put these on, I am strong and I'm going to fight this and win this. It is, I'm putting these on because I know God is giving me the power through these to fight the battle that he's already fighting.
Interesting how he uses weapons of war as the metaphor for these things and not saying, equip yourself with the beautiful duck of truth.
Except if you're an Ohio State fan, that duck, those are fighting words.
This week, yeah. Well, and I think also I think only really one of them is a weapon of war, which is the sword.
But even that is, it's not your broadsword. Mm-hmm. It is your little dagger. I didn't get to talk about this in the sermon. And I was really excited about it. Even that's defensive.
Yeah.
It's not meant for going out and attacking. It's meant for defending. It's not the big old broadsword that you'd go. It's for the hand-to-hand combat type of.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the challenges that we have as Christians. And and you see it a lot, you know, online these days, is it, we almost feel like we have to take on every question on Christianity and every issue that faces our faith and take it all on one-on-one, or not all for one, rather than, you know, we don't need to clear up every single that makes things clear. We don't need to clear up every single thing we see in a situation. Sometimes it's just what we have to deal with in that exact moment. God is powerful enough to defend himself, right? You know, so we don't have to defend God. Right now we're defending our faith.
I have rolling around in my head, similar to what Stacy read, with how God has given us the armor. I was going to find a different word. To just go about daily life. You know, we live in a society where it's everything's grayed. There is no right and wrong. And it's almost like you need to put that on every day just to walk out into the world. Just so you yourself feel protected. You yourself know where your heart lies, because you don't know what's going to get tossed at you. You know, you may have a really crummy day at work, or you may have a family member that's going through something. It's almost like a security blanket. You know, it's there for you. It makes you feel protected. And I don't know really where I'm going with this, but those are just the thoughts that are rolling around in my head.
Rolling.
Get my thoughts are rolling.
I was thinking of a different. Keep rolling.
Okay, oh, that's a different.
That's a different genre.
Rolling. Oh, man.
That's not what I was
We're really going forward today. Facebook's going to kick us off for singing songs.
Guy, everyone, you'll be very surprised. I have nothing to add to this part of the conversation.
You don't have any, like, Awana song or something that was rolling?
We are sparks for Jesus. Sparks to light the world.
Wow. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Had a little practice.
So, I don't even remember what we're talking about.
Well, Lacey was talking. I was thinking, I heard on the radio this morning, they were talking about, you know, everybody just seems so anxious lately with the news and everything. And they're talking about examining yourself every day. Am I exhibiting signs of anxiety and anxiousness? Am I looking like the rest of the world looks like today? Or am I finding peace and security amidst the crazy, amidst all this that I could be anxious about? Am I finding peace and security in the Word of God? And I think that's part of it. Like, we can easily look like the rest of the world, but what's different is we have all this armor that God gives us every day for our security, and to look different to the world too. Why aren't you anxious today? You live in the same world, in the same climate, political climate that we do. Why are you approaching this in a different way? And that presents an opportunity not only for us to feel God's presence in our lives, but to have a conversation with other people too, and to engage in relationship, not war with them, but relationship with them on a different level.
Now, these conversations you're having, are they with other Christians or with non-Christians?
Both. I think we as other Christians need to remind ourselves that.
So if you're truly have the armor of God, and you, then why? So worry should not be there, right? Worrying about it. But yet many Christians do.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm about to go down a path I don't want to go to.
Take your mic away for a while.
No, I was going to go down the lukewarm Christian path and talking about how there is this, at least in history, there's probably more Christians that can confess themselves to be Christian today than there were 50 years ago. And yet, because they don't conform, they still conform with the world, then they're not truly putting on the armor. They're not putting on the armor of God. They're basically saying, well, I believe in Christ as long as I can still watch my TV and my Netflix and my iPhone still here and all this other things.
That's what they were talking about too, is we as Christians, are we truly changed because
have we been made new?
Christ?
Yeah.
Are we just saying, okay, yep, I believe that? Or does our life actually show evidence?
Yeah, by how we act and who we are.
So we'll talk about that. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. How we can, maybe there's something that we can really focus on for a few days, maybe 40 days to really...
Why am I always a week ahead of you?
Did you bring those?
Kind of pick up the habits of Jesus.
Yeah. It's just weird that I always bring up stuff that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, but
looking ahead.
Okay,
like
I'll just.
It's almost like I'm planning music for a week ahead.
I just took the microphone myself because I have something to say before I forget this topic. Stop.
Put them down. Wait.
Okay. So Paul's talking about lukewarm Christian. Okay. So we're calling ourselves Christians because we believe what is in the Bible. We believe that Jesus came here for us, saved us, all of the things. What happens happens to those? We can say that we put on the armor, but what if somebody doesn't even know what the armor is? What if you have somebody that thinks, I think maybe I'm a Christian, but I conform to the world, because that's what's, I guess, is the word. I don't know really where I'm going with this, but it's just one of those things where for us sitting right here, it's easy to say, because, you know, we either live it, do it, all of the above, work in an environment where other people have the same thoughts and beliefs. But what if you're just that one person or two people out of a bunch? Is it easier to just cover that armor up with a sweatshirt and only, you know, so then are you using the armor in a different way?
Well, I would say that the armor is hanging up in the closet.
And I think, of course, our faith is personal and our battles are individually personal. But if you want to continue along the military example, the best militaries are only as strong as their weakest divisions. And I think it's very tempting as Christians to put the blinders on, worry about what Christianity looks like to me and how I do my life, and I just need to go about my way and get through this. When in reality, I think I'll get a little gutsy here and say, if we are gutsy enough to call ourselves strong in our faith, we should also look out for our brothers and sisters who might be struggling, because in those moments, our army has a quote-unquote man down. We need to help pick them up. I think that's what God has put us here for, as a body of Christ.
But I think that's why he used the example of, well, the metaphor of these different types of armor, because if we're going to be strong in faith, then these are our defenses that we have to protect us. And I think that is mainly the, because if you look at the list, that is mainly the stuff that they attack every day. You know, what is righteousness? Why is the righteousness that Christianity proclaims the righteousness that I should be following? And why is your righteousness different than my righteousness? And my definition of righteousness? And then we have, what is the belt of truth? I can't remember what they are either. Because, and then they'll sit there and go, well, that truth that you say is true, how do I know that's true? Because my truth is different. And then Gerber's going to grab a mic and he's going to explain it all.
No, I was just saying, it's almost like you were in confirmation this past weekend, because we talked about all of those questions.
I was not in confirmation.
Oh, so there may be questions that lots of people are asking, because multiple people are asking those questions.
What did you tell them?
I said, Jesus.
You said opportunity.
You have an opportunity to follow Jesus.
Jesus.
We talked about, and I sent a follow-up email too to just clarify some things. We really talked about orthodoxy, heterodoxy, and heresy. And orthodoxy is right teaching. We believe, obviously, that we have right teaching because our teaching focuses us on Jesus. And that's the key. Like, it's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's not about how I earn anything. It's about what Jesus has done for me on the cross. And the good that I do, when it's good, is out of response of what Jesus has done for me. But that right teaching focuses us on what Jesus has done. Heterodoxy is not necessarily that it's like going to take you away from Jesus, but maybe it's a different interpretation of that, of different things. And so heterodoxy means other teaching. Different denominations have different thoughts on baptism or the Lord's Supper or things like that, where it's probably not like, yes, I believe that what we believe, teach, and confess about baptism is right. I think it's the right way to go. But what another congregation, what another person believes about baptism, it's usually still going to point them to Jesus. They might have a different way of framing it. They might have a different way of understanding what's happening, but it's still pointing them towards Jesus. Even if, you know, I know, you know, the way I grew up was that baptism was an outward sign of an inward belief. Well, that belief was still that Jesus died for my sins. That's what we would call heterodoxy. It's another teaching. But yet they're still pointing you back to Jesus for the most part. And then heresy are those teachings that point us away from Jesus. And I'll be honest, we do find some of those in different Christian churches where the answer is, look to what you've done to earn your salvation. Now, it might not be said in that way, but that's how it sometimes comes off. But really, like, where we often talk about heresy are things like Buddhism and Hinduism and those other gods. But there are a lot of heresies in the in the early church that they had to have like whole councils on. Like all the big name Christians would get together in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea and talk about different ways that they were going to try and explain Christianity, talk about different ways that they were going to figure out how do we talk about the Trinity? How do we talk about the that Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time? And so we have to look at, you know, the way that, that has been passed down through Christianity. But there are some different heresies about that come through there that were even in Christendom. So it's really just comes down to, like I said, every church is going to have a different idea of what is orthodoxy, what is heterodoxy. What I love about Lutheran teaching is it always points you back to Jesus and what Jesus has done on the cross.
Well, that's great. Sorry.
Well,
Casey.
Oh my goodness, I have a mic again. Casey. Well, and I think that's it, with it all pointing back to Jesus and it all being about what he's done, and there's nothing we can add to it. I think that's one of the examples that makes armor so beautiful for this text, is because what is, you know, the breastplate of righteousness? It's something that God provides for you in those moments. Like, God is, and what he provides is still the chief protector in those moments. That's what ties it all together. Like, it's what God provides. He will be your defense in those moments.
I apologize. In the middle of your speech, I had an aha moment.
An epiphany.
And went, oh, I know what's wrong.
So not the board?
Well, not this board.
That board. Okay. Yeah. No.
Only one mic works now.
But this one swivels better, so. So should we talk about how we might put the habits of Jesus into our life?
That's a great question.
And how we might live them out. Uh-oh, are you taking the microphone?
Just 1 minute.
Is it an opportunity?
All right. I have to point out, I wasn't at service this weekend because I had, not the coof, but I had a head cold.
You can't say head cold without everybody thinking that.
I know.
That's what Paul's on the other side of the room.
It's the change of the season that everybody else is having.
Yeah.
It's filling up your head with a bunch of gook that dribbles out your nose. That's not fun. But on Sunday morning, I was watching it. I have to tell you, I wanted to take a shot every time Greg said opportunity.
I know. Okay, so I was laughing because Greg Rathke was talking about all the opportunities that we had for this being challenge and small groups, and he just, the word opportunity just kept coming.
Flowing.
And just was flowing out.
I want to say that he said it at least 10 times.
I think so.
It was pretty, I was laughing so hard. I was just, and then you came up and I think you said opportunity.
I said opportunity right away, and it was on purpose. There was just a little jab there.
I couldn't help it. I was like, I should have been, if I could just take a shot every time he says opportunity, this would be great.
No, don't do that. Let's not play that game, especially early on a Sunday morning.
You might not make it through service at that rate.
Well, not during that service.
So let's just all point out that there's somebody else in this room that's doing announcements next week.
Yeah, I have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, you do. So we'll see what that looks like. Y'all, it's harder than you think sometimes.
Not to use the word opportunity?
When you're talking about the opportunities that are available to you.
I kind of want to get a poster and just have the word opportunity and just underneath it just put all the synonyms that you can use other than
go for it.
Like an art teacher who's also an English teacher.
Great. Go for it. And you can hang it up in the back of the wall, in the back of the church.
No. It goes in your office.
Okay.
Retrain the brain.
All right. So.
Apparently we need one for Greg's office too.
What are the chances that you have, I don't know, whatever.
This fall.
How.
The open doors.
This fall.
All right. Like, why don't you just explain the being challenge again?
Being challenge.
And not the bean challenge.
Not the bean. It is not a middle school youth group game. To be like Jesus. In order to be like Jesus, we should be like Jesus. Yeah.
Do tell.
So this, the being challenge, we're starting at Trinity this coming week. Weekend is the kickoff. And it is a 40-day challenge where we have different challenges to put the five habits of Jesus into, and I always forget the order, so I got to look back at it. The five habits of Jesus into practice. And so there is commit to community, I think is the first one. I can't find it. Oh, whatever. It's not. There. Commit to community, study scripture, prioritize prayer, seek solitude, and choose church. And as Jesus, those are five things that Jesus did. And so how do we put these habits of Jesus, how do we make them habits of our own lives as we try to be like Jesus? And so that starts this weekend. If you don't have a book, you should get a book. We have them at Trinity. And so if you are in the area and would like a book, even if you want us to bring it to you, I'll bring you a book. But let us know. You can call the church office, 402-721-5536, or you can email me, anthony.gerber@trinityfremont.org. But we want every family, and even if you don't go to Trinity, but you listen to the podcast, we're going to be basically small grouping it here for the next few weeks.
Is this our life group?
Yeah, oh, life we're life. We're going to life group it.
Is this our life group?
This is our opportunity to be a life group, y'all. We are going to be talking about this, and it'll be great opportunity to put the habits of Jesus.
What really, the opportunity of this opportunity.
What is that opportunity?
Is the fact that this podcast will probably have structure because this will probably have questions in it. So maybe there will be a plan.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe there will be people out there that will be really happy if there's a plan.
So are we demonstrating now how to do a life group?
No.
No.
So is that going to be like
that's
the...
That's not what
if you guys be. Want to know how to do a life right. group...
This is what it looks like.
We have to say it in our...
We do this
no, because...
Very
so
well.
For our conversation around life groups is really going to be threefold. I used the pastor-y threefold.
It's threefold.
It's threefold.
Hold on, let me get my PowerPoint presentation out. Welcome to podcast.
So there's going to be Bible study,
fellowship,
and service. And so really all that we are able to do in this, there's some fellowship that happens.
There's many fellowship misses.
But really this piece is the Bible study. So it's not the full life group. So we will be wanting eventually life groups to spend time serving in their community.
We can do
to
that.
To spend time just, yes, but not on the podcast. This will be a little hard.
We're literally bringing it live to the community every week.
Different.
We are serving you.
We, yes. Bow to us. But like going to a park and cleaning up the trash or.
How is that? Okay, that's, I understand what you mean by service that way. But you're saying then having a public conversation with individuals out in the world is not the same thing.
When we have public conversations with them, that's evangelism. That's different than service. Service is going in and filling a need physically. Yes, spiritually is having some conversations with them.
Next year you can come serve it. Call your mom.
There you go.
All right, the end.
Boom.
There you go.
Or there's an opportunity this weekend to learn about chances to serve for our family ministry and our children's and youth programs. Immediately following the late service, there will be a lunch served, but there's a lot of things that are going to be kicking off or things that that already exist are going to continue growing. So there's plenty of chances.
See,
open
here,
doors
like
to serve.
Thesaurus, synonyms for opportunity, event, freedom, moment, time, fortuity, juncture, probability, shot.
That's a word we have to use a lot. Fortuity.
We do live this fortuitous.
We use fortuitous a lot.
We do.
So we're going to be able to have Bible study. We are going to be able to have fellowship, but not service. So we have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, physically, as we're sitting here talking,
Can Pew Talk?
As a group.
How can Pew Talk go into the community and have some service?
Well, that's what we'll talk about. We can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about
I'm not just going to answer the question for that.
Why not?
Because it's part of a group thing.
It's part of a fortuitous.
It's our
fortuity.
It's our fortuity to have that conversation together.
Is fortuity a word?
Was that what it was?
That's what it said, fortuity.
And the thesaurus never lies.
Fortuitness.
Try using opportunity.
You have the opportunity to use opportunity.
All right.
So fortuity, fortune.
You have the fortuity to join a life group.
So well, how does one form a life group?
There are a couple options. One, you can just like
get some friends and sit in a studio and have a podcast.
You don't even need to sit in a studio. You can just sit in the living room or in a park or in a driveway
or garage
when it's raining.
I like that. That's fun, especially when it's thunder and lightning.
Or if you're like, I need somebody to figure that out for me, because if I ask people to be in a life group, they'll make me lead it. If you would like some help with that, you can contact Greg Rathke, greg.rathke@trinityfremont.org.
And he'll have the opportunity.
greg.rathke. And he's helping to put together some life groups, to go through the being challenge, but then also maybe to do that into the future and study God's word and enjoy conversations with each other and serve in their community.
Okay. So just to wrap that up. So a life group is essentially the same thing as a small group, but because we're talking about life and afterlife, then it's called a life group.
Yes. I think for the reason that we're using a little bit different language there, small group can very much just be, we're going to sit and
stare at each other,
do Bible study. Oh. We're trying to make it more about
fellowship,
life together, but then also life with Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I was listening to one on Sunday and went, oh, yeah, life group.
Yeah.
Semantic.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm completely going to make fun of it. So.
Yeah, but you're already in one. It just means you're making fun of yourself.
I am. I always make fun of myself.
Here, Lacey wants to talk some more.
If you're not able to make fun of yourself. Sucker. Well, Lacey, you agree with me. If you're not able to make fun of yourself, then what is.
I don't think Lacey's ever had any sense of humor.
No.
But here's the deal. I like life groups that I have. Mm. So there we go.
Life groups? You have more than one?
Well, it's kind of like a Venn diagram. Let's just put it that way, because it kind of overlaps each other. And then there's some in the middle.
I am also in several life groups.
So there.
Some of them with more structure maybe than
Terry, others, you should be proud of me. I used the word Venn diagram.
No.
I said more structure.
That's two maybe. Words. Let's see. Oh. If I'm in a group, there is no diagram.
Now she is ashamed because you don't know what the separation of the words are.
Agenda. Yeah.
That one.
So is there, as a life group, if you wanted to lead one or if you wanted to join one or whatever, is the church providing a blueprint of what they should be talking about? Is it all in the book?
So there's online resources for that. There are videos. And so we will be providing that, or at least
so another way,
how to find that.
What you're trying to say is if you wanted to join a group or lead, you're not going to have to come up with the material.
Nope.
So really, there isn't. You just need to have a place.
Just people.
Yeah, people and
people
a place.
People come together.
And we're blocked. No.
Thanks, Facebook. Yeah, I just want to make sure. So, because sometimes when you think a small group, you're like, oh, we had to pick a book. We had to pick a study. It's all done.
Yep. And if you want to continue this after the Being Challenge, we also have lots of resources that we're putting together or we're tagging. Say, hey, we would love to do, our life group would love to do a study on marriage next. Great. We have like multiple opportunities, options for that.
And if you all want to start a podcast, we can certainly just
can do a three channel podcast.
I'll have to fix my board. So anything else we need to know about this group? Is it starting next week? Is the group supposed to start next week?
The groups are, we're trying to get them together as soon as possible. The next week is really more of just a get like a, hey, let's get things going. But it's really after the weekend of the 26th that the challenges get going and that you really start diving into.
So next week, your life group should get together, have a meal together.
Yep.
Say hi. If you don't know somebody, introduce yourselves.
Yep.
Say, this is what we're going to do.
Yep.
And then the week after that, we're actually going to dive into the book. Is it better as a life group to be able to each family, each group have a book, read it?
Every family should have their own book. There's daily devotions and challenges in there.
And you mentioned before how to get those books.
I believe I did. And if you missed that, you should call the church office at 402-721-5536 or email me at anthony.gerber@trinityfremont.org. And there is a Being Challenge book, and there's also a Being Challenge kids book, and they go together. So the challenges that you're doing in the Being coaching challenge will line up with the challenges that are going on in the Being Challenged Kids book. So right. families can do it together.
Yeah. So next question. You have your life group. Say yep. some of those life groups have children.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be better to have the children do it separately with an adult or to do it all as one big unit and the children just happen to have that version of the book versus the adult book?
So this is not going to necessarily lead your small groups. This is for daily family stuff. And the other, we have other resources that lead your life group conversations. There's a video, there are videos and discussion questions. It and that's really kind of up to the group. If you want kids a part of that, great. If kids are going to just be distracting and fighting and throwing things, maybe that's not so helpful.
Yeah, the answer is yes to that.
So find what works for your life group.
So, and if one is afraid of said group or afraid to be rejected by groups, so they call you?
Yep, but me or greg.rathke@trinityfremont.org.
I'm just trying to think of all the roadblocks that people would be going
yeah,
to.
No, I, and
maybe
there's...
Maybe you can just do it with a friend or two.
Right, you, it doesn't have...
Already. It doesn't have to be new people that you
so
don't
it could
know.
Just be your family.
It could be. Yeah, it's better, I would say, at least to have one other family
involved.
For accountability.
To have some accountability, to have good conversations with, because they it's will bring a different, yeah, a different perspective. So I actually would really prefer that you didn't need us to put you in a group of people, because you're already in a group of people. Just ask those group of people, hey, do you want to do this with me?
Do you have a recommended size? I mean, 12 people too many?
8 is kind of a good size in terms of, I'm just throwing random numbers out. Actually, like micro groups are really nice, like 3 people where you can kind of all hold each other accountable. There's not really a leader in a size of 3. And then you multiply those. So like you're in that for a year and then you...
Sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Yep, it is actually. Pyramid scheme for Jesus.
Quote it.
Small groups, pyramid scheme for Jesus.
Yes.
I'm writing it down.
Write it down.
I am funny. You come up with really good shirt ideas.
I mean, thanks, Lacey.
Our original catchphrase was just a side comment from you, and now we can't stop referencing salt and pepper black otter.
We got it in church again this weekend. Salt and pepper black otter.
Oh, I'm still working on the t-shirts. I've been slacking because I have so much stuff going on.
So, yes, I would say if you're concerned about what's this, you know, how much work am I going to need to put into this? We've talked a lot about baby steps. Even if you get the book and you do one challenge a week, that's 5 more ways that you put different habits of Jesus into your life. Yeah. That sounds good to me.
That's some good armor right there.
Yeah. And just so we're all clear, Trinity bought all of these books. We paid $15 each. We are asking for a suggested donation of $15 to help cover those costs. But we've also had people who have in the congregation who have gone above and beyond and sponsored books. Like a lot of people just threw a $20 bill in and said, keep the change. Some people were not able to afford the cost of a book. That's fine. Take a book. We would much rather you have a book to go through this so we can all be going through this together than to feel like money gets in the way. And honestly, we're not, I don't know who threw in 20 and who took a book without, I don't know. I'm not paying attention. I don't care. I just know that there have been people who have gone above and beyond for you. If you're one of those people who doesn't feel like they can afford the cost of a book, someone has paid for it for you.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of all the roadblocks that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're really what we're trying to get across is that we really think this is important.
Yep.
And we really, any way that we can help to whatever roadblock or any mental block or any kind of,
one of the habits that, you know, cause it ends with, well, never mind.
Don't ruin ending, man.
Yeah, I know. One of the habits in here is seek solitude, right? How many of you feel overwhelmed at times? How many of you feel too busy at times? How many of you feel like there's no white space? There's no margin in your life.
Oh, Why is her feet?
Because they're, you know, I asked three questions.
Hey, where's your boot? No boot.
It's not there. It's no boot.
What if you spent, like, Jesus had people, and a lot of times we are so busy because like, well, I can't not do this. I have to. Jesus, like, left. People really, in their minds, needed Jesus, and he just went off by himself to pray. Mm-hmm. Jesus was getting ready to die for you, and he's like, you know what would be good? I'm just going to go over here, spend some time with my father. We're going to pray. What if in the midst of all of your craziness, what if you spent 7 days putting the habits of seeking solitude, the habits of Jesus into your life? Would there be more peace? The answer is yes. So even if it's just for one, for that piece, and guess what? The very first week is commit, or, you know, choose community, commit to community. It's commit to community. So even if you're not in a small group after the first week, when the author Zach Zender comes to preach at Trinity on committing to community, he will also be very upfront in his desire for you to join a life group.
Yeah. So that's the reason I'm asking these silly questions. I know you think that I'm being condescending.
No, I don't. I actually appreciate it. So.
And that's not a hypothetical there. Zach Zender is coming to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Yay.
For people who don't know, Zach is the author of this series.
Yes.
And apparently he is in Omaha.
Yep. One of pastors at King of Kings in Omaha.
So, yay.
Yay. He loves doing things alphabetically, by the way.
At the end.
Zach Zender. He loved when everything was done alphabetically.
He
makes that comment in the Red Letter Challenge, if you read that book.
The, shall we say, preview to the...
It's part one.
Part one of the challenge.
Actually, it's almost like this is a prequel. Mm-hmm. Part the Red Letter was the prequel, and now we've got, eventually... I see five books.
On the side, there's a one and like the dot.
Well,
like,
see, I'm not at
King of, at King of Kings, he's preaching here the 26th. At King of Kings in October, they're starting the Forgiving Challenge. So that book just came to just came off print a week ago.
Second dot.
Yes, being forgiving, serving, giving, going. Can't you guys wait? I can't wait till we go through the Forgiving Challenge. Y'all have so much fun with that.
We have the opportunity to have fun.
Yes, you do.
So I picked a song called, hold on, let me pull it up, make sure I get the, I always
the
say
Armor
it.
Of God one?
No.
That one was not a Paul song.
No. Well, no.
And then it was a no one song.
So I picked a song called To Be Like You.
Okay.
And it's going to be the theme song for this being there you challenge. Go. It's about 7 minutes long. I'm going to cut it down.
Okay.
It's in true contemporary Christian fashion. They sing the bridge about 500 times.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Building.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
How much motion can we get out of you? Anyways, the point is that I'm hoping that it's a little bit better than the Come and See song. I'm sorry. I still love that song.
That one, I am surprised we haven't played it since.
I wonder why. I did pick a song last week about the armor of God, and apparently they had a little difficulty knowing the melody line. So since I wasn't there to lead them, they went, let's just cut it out.
Yeah, that's what happened, pretty much.
You can go listen to it on YouTube.
I was pretty surprised. I was like, what's happening? Oh, I guess they're not doing that song.
Yeah, yep.
So I encourage everyone to find some friends, find some family. Find friends and family.
Yep.
You know what? Even find some enemies.
Just a good way to end the year.
They all need Jesus.
Wind down.
We have armor to protect us from enemies. We're good.
I would fathom.
The devil is our enemy.
Accurate.
I'm talking about people that maybe don't know. It's like, you know what? I don't know these people, but maybe we do a small group together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you get to know them really well. And next you know.
And a good way to learn who Jesus is. Here's who he was and what he did. And a good introduction for anybody to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm hoping that Trinity can help in any way possible to get past whatever roadblock that is keeping you from participating.
Yeah, and getting to know Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in any way that we can hear at Pew Talk help, you can use pewtalk@trinity.com. I don't know. What's the email address?
pewtalkpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I mean, and we're going to be doing this. It sounds like we're going to be doing this live. And so if you want to participate with us here live, please do.
Yep.
You know what I mean, Lacey?
Yeah.
Yep.
Lacey.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I will have things fixed by next week.
sweet.
Yeah, I will. I will do my best, and you know me, I'll always get it done. So I'll figure it out. Anything else?
If you're interested in youth and children and family ministry, swing on by this Sunday right after the late service.
There's food for you.
It's a not just food. It's a whole lunch. So
yeah, what are we having? If you say hot dogs, I'm not showing.
No, it's not hot dogs. It's
ham.
Sloppy Joes. Yum.
Sloppy Joes.
Yeah, that felt encouraging at the end.
Not the bean challenge.
I woke up one morning and what did I see? All the pepperoni pizza was looking at me. He said, why do you burn me and serve me up cold? I said, I got the spatula. You just do what I told. All
right, we're gonna shut it down now.
Because
we have gone off. But this is part of the fellowship. This is part of the life group and fellowshippingness.
This is the reason why I'm not invited back.
But if you want to attend this.
This is why you host it, so you don't get kicked out.
My toy. I'm going to take my ball and go home if you don't. All right. So, finish that.
But by attending this meeting, you're not signing up for anything. It's mainly informational, and there's big ways to volunteer. There's even little ways where you don't have to be involved every week or even every month. We'll go through all of them, and whatever age group clicks with you that gets you excited, we want to get you connected.
Yeah. And so, essentially, what the plan is that you, if you come and then you bring two other people, then they bring two other people. And then we're building
small groups. The Jesus pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So peace.
Just keep going. Pretty, man.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.